So Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you that you've given us your word, and we ask that you would speak to us powerfully through your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to Matthew 28, and we're going to read 1 to 10 and then 16 to 20. So it says, "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." These were the Roman guards that were put there. "But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Verse 16, "And now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" Amen. Amen. And so folks, this morning we are looking at this passage, Easter Sunday. Right around the world today, people are preaching on the resurrection of Jesus. And so Easter Sunday is massive because the resurrection is massive. And it's the most important day in Christianity, when Jesus rose from the dead. No other founder of any world religion, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not any other world leader, can claim that their founder died and rose again like we do in Christianity. And not only does it state it in the Bible, but Jesus appeared to over 500 people at that time and proved that he was alive. There's also circumstantial evidence as well. Avril was preaching on this years ago, and he said there's circumstantial evidence as well. The fact that the tomb was empty, the fact that the seal was broken — they used to seal the tombs — the fact that Jesus appeared to these 500 people and he witnessed to them, the fact that the body was never discovered. If it had been discovered, all they needed to do was produce the body of Jesus to prove that he hadn't risen. The fact that every time we write the date, we are confirming that Jesus rose from the dead. The fact that the name of Jesus is used every day by Christians and non-Christians alike. People swear, unfortunately, in the name of Jesus, not in any other name. I don't know if you've noticed that. And the ninth piece of circumstantial evidence is that we're sitting here today because Jesus has changed our lives. He's risen. He's alive. He's alive in us. Hallelujah. And so, friends, this is a big deal. Resurrection Sunday is a big deal. And so we find from this account this morning, as we look into this passage I've read to you this morning, is that the angel rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the disciples in to have a look and see that he was not there. And so the early Christians didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus because they couldn't find a dead body. They believed because they found the living Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus appeared to them. And friends, that's why we believe in the supernatural, because we believe in a dead guy that came back to life. And we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. As I preach on this morning, I'm hoping to awaken you again to all that Jesus has done for us, because it's truly amazing. And so you can't find the tomb of Jesus really in Jerusalem. They may point where they think it is, but the early Christians lost the tomb, because who's interested in an old tomb with bones when you've got a risen, living Savior? Hallelujah. And so they had their eyes on Jesus, even Jesus' own blood brothers, James and Jude. They were not saved, if you like, until after the resurrection, and they saw the same Jesus, their brother, had been crucified, and suddenly he was alive again, and they came to faith. And they began to gather, the church began to gather on Sunday rather than Saturday, according to Jewish tradition, because Jesus rose on the Sunday. It was so, so powerful. The apostles were called as well. Their job description, they were called, if you like, eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They saw the resurrection of Jesus. They saw that he was dead, and then they saw that he was alive again. It was so powerful. And here in Matthew's gospel at the end, we have Jesus giving us his great commission. And so he gathers them before he ascends into heaven. They watched him ascend into heaven, and he gathers them and he says to them, I'm now being given all authority in heaven and on earth, and I'm telling you to go and preach the gospel, to go and declare my name, and to teach them all that I have observed. I'm teaching you to observe in my word, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so, friends, right around the world today, that is what's happening. People are receiving the gospel. People are coming to faith. Jesus is building his church because Jesus has been given this authority. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Now go. And we go to Willowvale. We go across the road. We talk to our neighbors. And we need to go as well because Jesus wants us to go with the gospel, with this authority that he has been given. Let's look there together. He says, all authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And so I want to ask us this morning this question. Why was Jesus given such tremendous authority? Why did he receive this authority? What happened on the other side of the cross? What happened through the resurrection that Jesus was given this tremendous authority? What happened through the resurrection? And I want to open that up this morning and share a few things with us to open us up as well and stir our faith. Well, firstly, the resurrection confirms the cross. The resurrection validates the cross, if you like. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So our sin, the sin of the world, was placed on Jesus, and Jesus paid the price for our sins. He hung upon the cross, bearing in our body the sins of the world. He paid for it, and he died through the payment and the punishment for sin, and then he was raised up again on the third day. Sin was so terrible that it presented us with a penalty that we couldn't pay, a debt we couldn't pay, and a power we couldn't overcome. That power was the power of death. And we find that Jesus on the cross paid for our sins. The cross was Jesus' payment for our sins, and the resurrection was God's acceptance of that payment. Hallelujah. And the credit of Jesus' righteousness that he puts in our account was far bigger than our debt, and it leads to a complete change in our status with God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 together. Let's just look Romans chapter 5, what Romans 5 tells us. So Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 says, for the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, how much more has the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many? For the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass and brought condemnation, but the free gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Hallelujah. And so Jesus has come and he's paid for our sin and he's cleansed us. And he has paid that punishment for sin. Hallelujah. And then he's risen from the dead. Otherwise, we'd just be forgiven corpses. But Jesus has actually risen from the dead. And he had to rise from the dead. And he, in fact, did rise from the dead. And so death could not hold him. Death could not hold Jesus. He broke the power of death upon the cross. And so the whole gospel, friends, it revolves around the preaching of a physically risen Lord Jesus. You can't have Christian faith without resurrection faith. We believe in a risen Jesus. And so the resurrection confirms the cross. The cross succeeded. The cross was God's acceptance of the payment for sin. Hallelujah. Secondly, I want you to see that through the resurrection also, something changed in the resurrection for Jesus, and something changed in the resurrection for me. So what changed for Jesus, first of all? Well, Jesus defeated death. And this is a big deal. I don't think we fully understand this, but Jesus defeated death. That means that Jesus didn't just come alive again to die again like Lazarus. Lazarus has risen from the dead. Other people have been risen from the dead, and then they had to die again. So Jesus didn't just come alive and die again, but Jesus went through death, and he went beyond death, never to die again. Hallelujah. He defeated death. Death no longer has power over him. The Bible says death no longer has power over him. So Jesus killed death. He put it to death forever for us and set us free from death. And friends, that means that for you and I who believe in Christ, death has also been defeated for us. It means that our resurrection is linked to Jesus' resurrection. And one day we will be raised from the dead, just like Jesus was raised from the dead. And it means that we one day, although we die, we will be raised never to die again. Hallelujah. We will live lives that are deathless. They are beyond death. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees my resurrection. His resurrection becomes my resurrection. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, just as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In the Old Testament, people believed that when you died, you entered a place called the realm of death. And that's why they were worried about dying, particularly if you died young. They thought, what will happen to you and how long will you stay there and what will go on? And they were unsure of what happened when someone would die. And it's such good news for us this morning to know that Jesus has broken the power of death. Hallelujah. And death cannot separate us from God's love. So it says that in Romans chapter 8, at the end of Romans 8, Paul is writing, declaring this great gospel of ours. And in verse 37, he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so friends, if we're still alive when Jesus returns, the trumpet will sound just like it sounded for the Israelites in the wilderness. Whenever they used to move in the wilderness, someone would pick up a trumpet, they'd blow the trumpet, and they'd all pack up their tents and they'd move. And one day we will hear a trumpet sound from heaven, and it will be the last great move of the people of God as we move into glory with Jesus and we leave death behind forever. Hallelujah. There will be a general resurrection of everyone. I was talking to someone about this yesterday. They said, how's this going to happen? Everyone will be raised from the dead. The Bible says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Not just believers, but unbelievers. Everyone will be raised from the dead. And some will be raised to glory, and some will be raised to eternal damnation. But it will be a great global resurrection from the dead. And we will be changed, and we will be glorified, and we will be with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. And when we are raised, the entire universe will be raised. This creation will be changed. The creation is suffering decay and corruption. And there's pollution. And there's danger. You can't just swim in the sea anymore. You might get bitten by a shark or go hunting. You might get chased by a bunch of wild dogs or a lion or something. This creation is dangerous. But one day when we are raised from the dead, the entire creation will be changed. And it'll be glorified. And it'll be renewed. And so the creation, as the Bible says, is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And when we are raised and when we are glorified, the entire creation will be glorified. And we will live on this earth in a glorified creation with Jesus forever. Hallelujah. And so friends, Jesus defeated death and he was the first fruits. And because of Jesus defeating death, one day death will be defeated for us. Hallelujah. You will live a life where you will never die again. You will live forever and ever in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is just absolutely incredible. It's so exciting. We will be glorified and the entire creation will be glorified with us. And we will never ever die again. We will live and we'll be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just so incredible. Secondly, after the resurrection, there was also something new in Jesus. That was where he got his authority from. Something new in Jesus and also something new in me. What was new in Jesus after the resurrection? Well, after the resurrection, Jesus took something of our humanity into heaven. Before Jesus came to this earth, he was God eternal. He was the Lord God eternal. But he took flesh upon himself and he lived amongst us. And when he died and he rose again, he rose as a glorified man, a glorified human being. And he took that humanity, that glorified humanity into heaven. Hallelujah. And so it says in 1 Corinthians 15, there is just as we bear the likeness of the man called Adam from the dust of this earth, so we'll bear the likeness of the man from heaven whose name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you notice from this passage, when they saw him, it says they grabbed his feet and they worshipped him. They worshipped him. Hallelujah. Just grab the elbow or the arm of someone next to you and just give it a squeeze. Can you do that? Can you do that this morning? Friends, that's what you will feel like in heaven. That's what you'll feel like in heaven. You won't float into heaven. You won't fly into heaven. You'll walk into heaven. The Bible says they grabbed his feet and they worshipped him. In Luke chapter 24, just the most incredible scripture about the resurrected body of Jesus, which we will get as well, a resurrected body. Hallelujah. Edith, isn't that good news? A resurrected body. It's fantastic news. Hallelujah. And the older you get, the better it sounds. Amen. And so Luke chapter 24, verse 36, it says here that Jesus appeared to them and they were startled, verse 37, and frightened and thought they'd seen a spirit. They thought they'd seen a ghost. They thought they'd seen a spirit. But he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." Can you see that? Look what he says next. "For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and marveling, he said to them, "Have you got anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of fish and he took it and ate it in front of them. Amen. It's not good manners to always eat in front of others when they haven't got food. But Jesus was doing that to prove a point. He wanted them and he took the fish and he put it in his mouth and he ate it. And he swallowed it with his resurrected body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And friends, what we need to realize is that something changed with Jesus after the resurrection. He was no longer just Jesus of Nazareth, come in the flesh, but he was the risen heavenly man, Jesus, the Lord of glory, who said, "Now all authority has been given to me." And one day, our humanity will be changed and glorified like Jesus. We will receive glorified bodies, full of power and full of glory, just like Jesus' body. When we see him, the Bible says, we shall be like him. That is just incredible. Hallelujah. 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 My wife asked me yesterday, "How old do you think we'll be when we're in heaven?" I don't know the answers to those things. Maybe we'll all be 21. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know. Maybe our age will be fixed when we look the best. I don't know how it's going to work. But I do know we will receive glorified human bodies. We'll recognize one another. We'll be able to eat and feast and laugh and joke and walk and talk. Hallelujah. One day we will receive the image of the man from heaven. Hallelujah. And we will receive a body full of the power of the Holy Spirit, bodies fit for glory. We will have glory and power. We'll be imperishable, have heightened faculties. The Holy Spirit will be in you in full measure. Your body will literally be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. You will have a glorified body, a spiritual body. It's just so incredible. And we will shine like stars and be with Jesus forever. And we will shine in different degrees of glory depending on how you've lived for the Lord, according to our rewards. And so we'll all be glorified, but there will be levels of glory and there will be levels of reward. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's writing and he says in verse 41, he says, now there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. There'll be different levels of glory. We've lived for the Lord and obeyed His teaching. And that's why at the end of 1 Corinthians 50, he says, therefore, beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And so Jesus received this authority that He never had before, if you like, because He became not just the eternal, He wasn't just the eternal God, but He became God-man. He took our humanity into heaven. Hallelujah. He took this glorified body into heaven when He rose. Hallelujah. And thirdly as well, the resurrection also gave Jesus a new name. And it gave Him fresh authority as well. And if we understand this, it'll help us to understand the authority that Jesus had. Before the incarnation, before the resurrection, Jesus was God alone, if you like. And then when He took on human nature in the incarnation and the resurrection, He was proclaimed God, also the God-man, Jesus the Messianic King with power. Hallelujah. Something new forever in the universe. He was crowned as this God-man, Jesus who'd come in the flesh, who'd conquered sin. Hallelujah. And He'd conquered sin through the cross, His sufferings of death. And He became the Savior and the Mediator between God and man. Hallelujah. And so Ephesians chapter 1 says that to us. Paul's writing and he says in Ephesians 1 verse 16, he says, the Lord Jesus, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He's called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believed, according to the working of His great might, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness that fills all in all. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, because He'd conquered sin, because He'd conquered the cross, He was given a name that is above every name. He was given more authority than He had before. He was given this name above every name, the name of Jesus, this messianic King, the one mediator between God and man. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, all authority has just been given to Me. Now go and proclaim the gospel in all creation. Hallelujah. Satan had offered Jesus a shortcut in order to get this authority over the nations. When He was in the wilderness and He was being tempted, Satan showed Him all the nations of the world. And he said, I will give you this if you bow down and worship Me. Jesus said, I'm not taking any shortcuts. I'm only going to worship the Lord my God. And He chose the cross and He chose the will of the Father. And because of that, He was given authority over the nations. He refused the shortcuts. He refused that temptation. And so, friends, in the realm of glory, as I close this morning, there sits a man. There sits a man with nail-pierced hands and a pierced side. Those nail-pierced hands have been taken into glory. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. And he was obedient unto death. And he fulfilled the destiny of the entire human race. And he became the king of creation because of his obedience. The only mediator between God and man. The one who rules the nations. His name is Jesus. And friends, one day he'll return in tremendous glory and power. Not to bring salvation, but to bring a sword of judgment. To judge the nations. And to take us to be with him forever. Hallelujah. This is Jesus. This is what he's done for us. This is why we celebrate the resurrection. This is why we celebrate this man in heaven who's become this messianic king with all authority in heaven and on earth. And so what's the application for us? What does this mean for us this morning as we close this morning? Well, it means a few things. First of all, it means that when I become a Christian, and maybe you don't know the Lord this morning, and when I open my heart and say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Would you forgive me? Would you become my Lord and Savior? When we're born again, when we regenerated, we receive the life of God in us. And we begin to carry the Spirit of God around in us. The Bible says whoever has the Son has this resurrection life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Hallelujah. And that means that the resurrection of Jesus begins to operate already as a Christian in my life. It's like a mini resurrection that takes place when I get saved. And it affects my attitudes inwardly and my thinking and my behavior. I'm aware that Jesus is alive in me. Hallelujah. And I think that's what this team found out on this trip, that they could pray for people. And things happened because we carry Jesus with us to Willowvale. And friends, it's so important that we live like this, that we live with an awareness that Christ lives in me. And sometimes you look at Christians, sometimes we go through things, you feel like saying to folk, do you not know Christ is risen? Do you not know that Jesus is alive? The resurrection needs to change us inwardly, change our attitudes, change our thinking as well. And outwardly, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is moving. Jesus is alive. What is Jesus doing? We need to see the life of God breaking out in different ways. Let that life of God be manifest in you. Remember, we started the year of looking at Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. And so we need to live with this awareness that Christ is risen in me already. One day there'll be a great resurrection. One day my body will be changed, but already Christ lives in me. His resurrection life flows in me. Hallelujah. And secondly, Jesus said, go. Go with this message of the resurrection. Jesus speaks much more about going than about people coming to us. He says, go, go, go. Gather, grow, and go. We need to go with this message of the gospel and keep going. And friends, that's our message this Easter. Our message this Easter is Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus has all authority and power, and we need to go, and we need to tell others this message of Easter, this message of the gospel, this message of the resurrection. He's my King. He's my Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.